Our palm reading today is from Luke 19, verses 29 to 40. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. When Jesus had come near Bethpage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying this colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our passion reading today is from Luke 23, verses 1 through 5 and 13 to 47. Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began, even to this place." Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod. He sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us." This was a man who had been put in prison for insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no grounds for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man named Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. Leaders scoffed at Jesus, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you're king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanging there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? Indeed, we've been condemned justly, for we're getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was about noon. and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, Certainly this man was innocent. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, open our hearts to the power of your word and of your message for us this holy week. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Today is known as both Palm and Passion Sunday because both are pivotal parts of Holy Week. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem with the waving of the palm branches and his crucifixion. And I think it's hard to truly appreciate the miracle of Easter without observing the entire Holy Week. This whole week is so important because Jesus enters Jerusalem for the most powerful week of his life. And we learn in this week that death comes before resurrection, and the cross comes before the empty tomb. So today we hear both stories, the palm and the passion, and I believe we really need these stories today, especially in the midst of this global pandemic of COVID-19, this horrible virus. We need these stories because we're all suffering right now. It is an unprecedented time for us. We are not all together in our church building to see children waving palms or hear moving music together. We're not here to hug or shake hands or offer smiles and love in person to one another during this holiest week. And our hearts are broken from the physical isolation we're all experiencing, from the stay-at-home orders we're under. Our hearts are broken because we turn on the news and we see that more people are dying. First responders are getting sick, hospitals are strained, schools and graduations are canceled, weddings are called off, funerals are postponed, and we're all starting to be personally touched by people who have this virus. We need the palm story because we need to know that even in our pain and struggles, Jesus comes into Jerusalem and he comes into our hearts. Isn't that a promise you need to hear? That nothing can stop Jesus from coming into our lives. Even as we worship from our sofas instead of our pews, Jesus still comes to us. It may be different. It may be quieter. We may be teary or whispering instead of shouting or singing, but still he comes to us today, right now. Jesus comes to us in the midst of our grief and sorrow and meets us wherever we are, wherever we've been, and he alone knows where we are going. We need the passion story as well. The two go together. Jesus has told his disciples all along that he would go into Jerusalem but then be killed. But I doubt they understood that on Palm Sunday. I doubt they understood that day what would happen with those same crowds just a few days later, right? I mean, watching Jesus come into Jerusalem would be kind of like us at a parade or a rally for a returning hero. The disciples were probably thinking, this is the kind of Savior we've been waiting for, the kind of reception that Jesus really deserves. Everyone waving palm branches that day would have been feeling great. Which is one of the things that's so incredible about Palm Sunday. Jesus enters Jerusalem with shouts of blessing and hope to people praising God, but they don't understand that his love and salvation will come from a cross, from his blood being shed to take away our sin. The question is, do we understand that today? Jesus comes into Jerusalem surrounded by people adoring him in all his power, and we see his power. He knows exactly where to send them for a donkey. He arrives just as the prophets foretold. He knows the response of the crowds even before it happens. Some of the Pharisees say, Teacher, order your disciples to stop. And Jesus says, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. In other words, you can't stop this. No one can. The crowd, the procession, and everything else that's about to happen, this is all of it a part of God's plan, a plan for us, a plan for our hope and salvation. So we see Jesus in all his glory on Palm Sunday, but we know what awaits him, don't we? On Thursday night this week, Maundy Thursday, he will eat his Last Supper and wash his disciples' feet. Later that night, he will pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking God to take away the cup of suffering. He will then be arrested as an innocent man and turned over to the authorities by one of his own disciples, Judas. On Good Friday, he'll be tortured and crucified and will die on a cross, that hideous capital punishment of the Romans. And all this will happen between two common criminals. Yet Jesus will do what we think unimaginable. Jesus will offer forgiveness for the crowds and grace for the criminal even as he dies. This passion of Jesus, this journey to the cross, it couldn't be more important than it is right now in 2020. How many of you have been afraid this week? How many of you have cried? How many of you turned on the news only to quickly turn it off? I know I have. There's more than enough fear and anxiety and depression to go around, isn't there? My sister is an ER doc in New York City. My husband's a firefighter here. My family's mourning the loss of my father just 2 weeks ago. My church members are all like my family, so precious to me and so vulnerable in a time like this. We all have worries and fears, right? And this story of Jesus' suffering, of the palms and the passion, it's why it's so personal and powerful. We need it. I remember watching Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, about the life and death of Jesus. It was touching to see the love of Jesus' mother Mary, but it was harrowing to watch the arrest and crucifixion of Jesus in all its detail. I almost couldn't stand to be in that theater. And yet the whole story is a story that I need, a story that we all need, because our Savior is a Savior who suffered, and it is in his suffering, it is by his stripes, according to Isaiah 53, that we are healed, that we are saved from sin. It is in the cross that we find hope and strength. It was not just a horrific death. It was the love of God shown forth for all of us, the love of God defeating sin and death. Which may sound crazy in our world or to those without faith in Christ, but to us, it is not foolishness. It is the wisdom and power of God. This story of the palms and the passion is a story that speaks to the power of fear. And we all know about fear, don't we? Especially right now. Do you realize that it was fear that led Jesus to be arrested, accused, tortured, crucified? He was an innocent man put to death in the most horrible way so that others would be afraid of Rome. Yet throughout the entire ordeal, Jesus is not afraid. In the garden, he prays, "Not my will, but thine be done, Lord." Jesus stands courageously before Pilate, before the crowds, not defending himself or avoiding what awaits him. Instead, he takes that beating, the flogging, the accusations, the mocking, and finally being nailed to a wooden cross. And what does he do? He prays for the crowds. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He promises a criminal on his side, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He bravely breathes his last while praying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Can you even imagine that kind of courage? Isn't that something we need right now? I believe we learn so much from Jesus' ministry, from his teaching and preaching and healing, but we also learn so much from his last hours on earth, because we see in him an example of living without fear, with courage and hope, even in the most troubled times. Think about this. Pilate was the epitome of a fearful man who gave in to the demands of a crowd, afraid of what they would do to him if he didn't crucify Jesus. What about us in this time of fear? Will we allow fear to rule in our hearts and minds, or do we stand on God's promise to us? Like in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. The power of Jesus is a different kind of power, isn't it? It isn't the power of force or fear. It's a power we find described in Philippians 2. It's the power of humility and service and love. It's the power that comes from love, not force, from grace, not violence. And it's the power of a sound mind. Or as Paul puts it so eloquently in Philippians 2, it's the power of having the same mind as Christ Jesus. When we think about what that means to live with the mind of Christ, doesn't that mean living without being a slave to our fears? Friends, we have this example of Jesus going all the way to the cross and of his crucifixion, defeating all sin and death. And what is something we learn from that? We learn about the power of faith over fear. Faith is stronger than fear. We learn that courage and love defeat sin and death. What if in our fears, in our suffering, in our struggles right now, God is saying to us those words that appear thousands of times throughout the Bible, "Do not fear, for I am with you." What if we can live without fear controlling us? What if we can open our hearts and our arms and our minds and receive Christ's courage and hope even in these troubled times? What if our faith can be stronger than our fears? I believe the good news is it can. Jesus does come to us to give courage to us, especially in this Holy Week. I believe that is the good news of the gospel this day. We can live afraid of what is happening all around us, or we can live in the courage and hope of God's awesome hand upon us and Jesus' presence right beside us, walking with us each and every day. As we walk through this Holy Week, may we surrender our fears and accept his courage and strength. May our faith be stronger than our fear. And to that, all God's people say, Amen.